The patrons ignored his reticence, tolerant by way of utter indifference. The place was a classic New York borough bar, though of an early vintage. Inside was a type of perpetual night, the few windows at the entryway small with thick translucent glass. The woodwork, a deep mahogany, soaked up what little natural light got through. Above the woodwork was painted green plaster, covered here and there with framed covers of Life magazines, the most recent commemorating MacArthur's return to the Philippines. A threadbare carpet divided the bar from the wall of booths. Around the bar itself, the floorboards were worn down to the naked wood. The footrail was heavy, solid brass, shiny on top. The bartender often wondered why no enterprising thief had ripped it out, since it was the only thing of real value in the whole place. The two guys who came in that night were new to the bar. They were young, about college age, though far from college material. It was the late 70s, but the aesthetic preferences of the 50s still clung to men in the Bronx who'd given allegiance to the principles of rebellion and social disharmony. Black hair combed back from the face, loose nylon jackets over blue jeans, black leather shoes. White leather driving gloves adorned with the logo of an Italian sports car. Cigarettes stuffed in t-shirt pockets under the jackets. Nicotine stains on fingers and teeth, attesting to their constant deployment. They were both bigger than average, though one was bigger still. They took the two seats at the bar usually claimed by a set of cousins from the butcher shop who'd be showing up in about 10 minutes. The violation bothered the bartender, but he also had an instinct for customer service, so he said, "What do you have?" to the two young men with no betrayal of annoyance. The men disappointed him further by ordering Southern Comfort on the rocks, a drink he considered sweetly effeminate, while acknowledging it packed a greater-than-average alcoholic punch. But he took it in stride and poured the drinks after wiping some dust off the little-used bottle. He also slid an ashtray in front of them as they lit up their Chesterfields. That was when he noticed the mechanic looking over at the two young men. He still had the folded Daily News in his left hand, but his right was flat on the table and his gaze fixed in place. The two men didn't seem to notice, sipping their sugary liquor and speaking to each other in tones too low to easily make out the words. The bartender's sister, who waited on the booths, asked the mechanic if he wanted another beer, which he always did after finishing his cheeseburger. And that night was no different, though it took him a moment to register that the waitress was standing there talking to him. Then, as if a spell was broken, he ordered the beer and went back to reading the Daily News. The two young men at the bar asked for another round of Southern Comfort, this time doubles, joking that the drink glasses were all glass with no place to put any booze. The bartender was vaguely offended by this, but took the jibing in the spirit intended and gave each of them more than double the original portions. They toasted him, and he nodded after wiping the bar clean and emptying out the ashtrays. The cousins from the butcher shop came in on cue and suffered a few moments' confusion over the appropriation of their regular stools. The bartender jerked his head toward two seats at the other end of the bar, and the cousins lumbered on through, though not happily. After setting down their drinks, the bartender told them the first round was on the house, a gracious gesture deeply appreciated. One of the two guys who'd commandeered the butcher's seats waved the bartender back in their direction. They asked if he had anything salty they could munch on, peanuts or beef jerky. When he said no, the smaller of the two said, "What kind of fucking bar doesn't have peanuts?" Which caused the bigger one to swat him and say, "Shut up, douchebag. Plenty of fucking bars." The bartender put menus in front of them and said they could have any of the appetizers half price as compensation for the missing peanuts. This seemed to please the two guys, as if they'd logged an important victory. "You can take them gloves off if you want," he told them. "Be easier to eat." "We like these gloves," said one of the guys. "Easier to wipe our noses." The other guy thought this was pretty funny. On the way to the kitchen, the bartender noticed the mechanic wasn't in his booth, though his partially consumed beer and the Daily News were still in place. He could see that the men's room door, usually open a crack, was closed, which explained things. When he came back from the kitchen, the mechanic was back in his seat, though still more interested in the two young guys at the bar than either his newspaper or the beer. He waved the bartender over to the booth.